Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Girl Scout cookie season, at least on my timeline. And whether you like them thin or you like them thick, we got you covered here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. I'm talking about Girl Scout cookies. Janae Ogumike and Mike Golic Jr., we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, make sure you kick it with us this hour because we will, of course, get to the biggest basketball storylines, whether it is collegiately or the pros, the Lakers get nice bounce back wins, the Knicks. The New York Knicks are back, and when I say collegiately, we've got a really big showdown tonight between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State on ESPN featuring, also you can listen to it here on ESPN Radio, featuring Cade Cunningham, the newest number one prospect according to the recently released ESPN NBA mock draft. And of course we've got J.J. Watt news, but we've been talking about Girl Scout cookies. Junior's team Thin Mints, I'm team Samoas, so we asked everyone else to weigh in, and I've got some really interesting suggestions, Junior, because Jack Patterson tweeted in, "I'll go off the beaten path. Those new lemonades they debuted a couple of weeks ago are legit. It also doesn't help that the local Girl Scout office is literally next door to the TV station I work out." So Samoas, Thin Mints, lemonades, but I will give you this, Junior. The Thin Mints are the ones that are coming in hot and heavy on the timeline right now.
Listen, understandable, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the Girl Scout community. That being said, and while I support everyone supporting Thin Mints and understanding the place that they serve in my life, I want to make it abundantly clear that we here at ESPN Radio are proudly Team Lisi when it comes to any cookies being made right now.
Preach.
The
no question.
Unparalleled, unmatched dominance of Christine Lisi in our hallways around here and giving you SportsCenter updates as our sole fealty on this one. So, Christine, I just want to make that abundantly clear because we're showing love to these Girl Scout cookies. Don't think that your homegrown hard work is going on deaf ears or, you know, empty stomachs here.
Well, thank you. I was a little offended. I brought in four kinds of treats today.
Yes, and they were exceptional. I've had two. I got to sample two of them, and let me assure you, they're fantastic. Matt, like, you can back me up on this.
I was going to say, were the Girl Scouts in here with cookies today?
No. Didn't see them.
Nope.
See, this is what happens when I'm in Los Angeles and y'all are in Connecticut. I would have given so much respect and props if I knew she brought in the four cookies, but y'all don't tell me because this is the new normal. But yes, respect.
How are those palm trees?
This is the new normal. I was going to say, you know what? It's the sunshine tax, Janae. I'm sorry, for 7 months of a permanent cloud, we get cookies sometimes, and you get to be a professional basketball player who lives in paradise.
We just have to be very grateful that Christine Lisi doesn't decide to like go and start her booming, you know, baking business and chooses to be with us here on ESPN Radio, okay? And speaking of Christine, you heard on the, you know, SportsCenter update, we talked about J.J. Watt, and she mentioned the details there. After J.J. Watt got his release from the Texans, he was a free agent until earlier today when he posted on social media, broke his own nose, a place where he thrives now, social media. He's agreed to a 2-year contract with the Arizona Cardinals, and the deal is worth $31 million, which includes $23 million guaranteed. Now, a few minutes ago, we were able to chat with Jeff Darlington, our own ESPN NFL reporter, who joined us and gave us not only, you know, the best analogy for the Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson awkward scenario that's developing, but more importantly, for the sake of J.J. Watt, he explained to us, you know, while he had options, why he chose Arizona, but still, there were some suitors out there.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Ogumike, and it's not like there's anything wrong with taking that latter into account as much as anything, Janae, because I think while there was a market out there, like Jeff said, I'd imagine it's not $23 million guaranteed robust. And so if you can get somewhere that's close enough in that spot and the way Arizona is, albeit fourth right now by playoff odds in the toughest division arguably in football, it's still better than A, where you were at, and B, maybe being at one of those other spots having to take a markedly bigger pay cut.
Yeah, and obviously, like, for every athlete, and I keep saying this, but it's the truth, every athlete has different intentions. While we would have loved to see J.J. Watt potentially with the Green Bay Packers return to his home state and compete at a high level while, you know, earning a Super Bowl, you just have to wonder financially, what was the reality there? If they're playing games with Aaron Rodgers, don't you think they play games maybe with J.J. Watt? And so this is a nice soft landing. As someone who knows a lot about Arizona, Junior, how did you feel when you found out it was the Cardinals?
I felt great for J.J. Watt because, listen, I lived in Arizona for a while as a kid. My folks spend a lot of time out there now. it is a great place to be. And for J.J. Watt, you get to go and do that with a guy that's got, you know, probably close to nine figures in the bank at this point. So it's a good place to be at that point. And he gets to reunite with a former
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, let's say with DeAndre Hopkins, a guy who was his teammate in Houston for a while. He gets to reunite with their defensive coordinator, who was his defensive backs coach in Houston when he got there early on in his career. So there's enough familiarity there and a quality quarterback to feel good about that move. The quarterback that probably doesn't feel good about that move is Russell Wilson, who still is sitting out here this offseason, a guy who has loudly complained about not having protection, staring at a division that might be able to say that pound for pound, it's the best pass-rushing division in football.
Do you think this has to? I can't think of another scenario that this doesn't help. You know, Russell Wilson, if he's going out there and saying, look at who's volunteering to come, like, because at this point it was J.J. Watt selecting his team, volunteering to join the NFC West. This has to be a scenario that Seattle looks at and says, hey, we might actually have to listen to this guy, because if we're trying to compete, we need this man. And if we need to sort of lock something down, I know his contract ties him now. This is the audition year to keep him in the future.
Yeah. And I think that's the reminder that more than likely, because of all the financial reasons we've talked about, Seattle moving on from Russell Wilson this year, a realistic trade is probably not out there. But in the future, if that becomes more viable and if he stays unhappy with the situation, this isn't going to go away. Like, the things that we've seen happen around these quarterbacks being able to raise their voice, especially the rest of the eyes of the NFL are probably on this Watson situation. And if Deshaun finds his way out, that is going to open up all of this in a way that previously players did not think could exist. And so Russell Wilson would definitely be one of the direct beneficiaries of that.
Do you know the direct chaos if, like, somehow Deshaun ended up with the 49ers or something in that division? Like, how chaotic.
I keep hoping that he's going to end up, like, I want to make a super division so badly in the NFL where we look at, like, the AFC West. And I've always said Denver is a fascinating landing spot to consider for Deshaun Watson. And so now all of a sudden you've got him and Patrick Mahomes in that division for the next decade battling it out. Like, we all win for that one. Those teams certainly win, but we would even be the direct winners in that situation.
That would be lit. That would be great.
Oh, we need that to happen in the worst way. But in the meantime, now you've got this sort of call and response, because I keep reminding everybody, in that division, you're going to get J.J. Watt and a healthy Chandler Jones in Arizona. The 49ers, you're going to get a healthy Nick Bosa back, who last time we saw him fully healthy on the biggest stage had more hurries in a Super Bowl, more quarterback pressures than I think almost anyone in NFL history that year against in that situation against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And then, oh, by the way, you've got Aaron Donald and maybe Leonard Floyd coming back, who was only the most productive pass rush duo in the NFL. So if you're choosing your fighters in this one, Seattle has to be looking and making sure there's no how to block really, really well. Really, really well. Be nice. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. But coming up next, as we talk about teams loading up and choosing their fighters, why LA made one very great choice this offseason that is paying dividends for them while one of their biggest stars is out. We'll get to that next. Chan Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Before I tell you about this huge game tonight, make sure you tune in tomorrow for college basketball action as UNC hosts Florida State. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are Janae and Golic Jr., streaming live on ESPN Plus, holding it down on ESPN Radio. Chineo Gwumike, Mike Golic Jr. Now, in about 10 minutes, we will check in with our ESPN college basketball reporter who wrote that amazing piece on the best prospect that's emerging so far from the college hoops ranks after his career-high 40-point performance. But I want to stick with the pros for this segment here, because 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Knicks fans, show your love to your team, because things are trending in the right direction. So if you have time, you want to call and talk to us, 888-729-3776, because not only was there, Junior, a stellar performance from Cade Cunningham, you know, collegiately, but now we're seeing stellar performances translating to the Knicks actually being fourth in the East, prime position for playoffs. And I want to ask you this question, because it's also on the same weekend you see people dancing outside of Madison Square Garden celebrating their team. It's also on the same weekend that finally the Lakers bounced back, got two wins, got Dennis Schroeder back. So to you, what is more impressive, either the Knicks being in the playoff hunt at 500 or the Lakers actually figuring themselves out?
Oh, man. I don't want to be a downer about the Knicks situation, even though I already have within the body of this show. At the same time, we know there's a ceiling to this right now. And so I'll say the Lakers instance today, just because I think this team had looked so distraught without AD on the court and without Dennis Schroeder, who was missing it because of the COVID-19 protocols in there. And I know the level of competition. I know Portland and Golden State aren't exactly barn burners this season in the NBA, but just seeing the level of comfort and confidence when you've got someone like Dennis Schroeder out there, a veteran, a guy who knows what to do with the ball in his hands in a way that the rest of that team did not when he was out and when Anthony Davis was out, this can at least keep that team afloat. Even if their championship ceiling needs Anthony Davis, their ceiling towards being top two in the West going down this stretch of the season, going through this crucial span, can all be done with LeBron and with Dennis on the court.
Yeah, and I think that's it, unfortunately, for the Knicks. What we're celebrating them finally, you know, translating like their defense into wins, like, you got it, you can do it. Like, the we're all the parents in the stands, like, will they be able to hold it? Can they keep it together? And through almost 40 games in the season, they've done exactly that. But when you compare that to the Lakers, I think they got an even bigger answer that will help them, you know, for the rest of LeBron James's career as a Laker. Potentially, they've been looking for an X factor. Having AD is great. Pairing that with LeBron James will likely get you to a finals. But having that, you know, third person, that supporting cast, the X factor in Dennis Schroeder, providing that energy offensively and also being a primary, you know, ball handler so LeBron James can take a break, that probably will translate to more of the immediate success. Not to negate what the New York Knicks have been able to do.
Of course.
Julius Randle, an all-star, fourth in the East, one game above 500. No one could have probably predicted that. No one probably thought that this team would figure it out so quickly so that they can at least stay competitive and have some fun. Like, New York deserves that. So I'm happy for them. I just don't know how much of this is going to be like the foundation on which this rock is built for them to re-enter the pinnacle of basketball success. But at least they're showing that they're competent when it comes to their coach, their players, and their will as a team.
Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And you know what? In their defense, it's not like the Knicks have ever really been close to the pinnacle of basketball success, even when they were at their best anyway. So getting back and close to being a consistent playoff team is a great notion. And for that kind of excitement and good feelings, Monna McNutt, our ESPN basketball analyst, she does a great job covering the Knicks as part of the MSG Network as well. She joined us on the show earlier today and talked about the legitimate basketball reasons why people can stay excited about the Knicks this year. I love the idea of grunt, not glamour, when it comes to the stats around here. That feels like something that is very deeply our show, even though there is a fair amount of glamour around here, mostly on your side of things in here, holding down that portion of the events. But
it does reflect both of us pretty well.
That is, I was going to say, that is an alternate title for this show, apparently, grunt and glamour on this. But when you look at, I'm curious, because she mentioned one of those names as a part of what to be excited about is Tom Thibodeau and the culture he's come in here and instilled in this between him, Leon Rose, World Wide Web. This has got a situation, World Wide West, excuse me. They've got a situation that right now looks like it's going in the right direction. But Chenae, when it comes to trying to do what I think Brooklyn is, or what they are here, and I say Brooklyn because I think the Knicks are kind of trying to emulate what Brooklyn did a few years ago. Let's get this to a place that's sustainable with the people that we've drafted and brought in right now, and then try and see if we can make this soil a fertile place that some superstar is going to want to come in free agency. My question to you is, knowing what we know about Tom Thibodeau's past, is he an asset to that quest, or is he a detractor to that quest?
How long do they want to play defense? Like, usually you can inspire a team to play elite defense a couple seasons, right? But at some point, the development has to be there where you can lean on your offense. And we know that offense is what dictates and rules the NBA. Hell, look at the Brooklyn, look in your own state. Like, offense is changing the game within the Brooklyn Nets, not too far from you. So I think for this, we sort of make the same comp kind of for Jim Harbaugh, right? He comes into a program, he comes into a franchise, he gets them doing all the things that most people probably wouldn't, you know, playing gritty, physical, hard-nosed when it translates to basketball. That's that physical style, going out and dominating the things that most people probably take for granted. And it translates into remolding a franchise. I think he's perfect, Coach Thibodeau, for this instance. But in the future, there has to be offensive development. And that is probably where we really will see how he handles this New York Knicks team.
I think Jim Harbaugh is a great comp in that. They're both jackhammers. Janae, I would liken it to this. Anyone that's ever owned a pool or been around a pool knows that every once in a while you got to go in and shock it. You got to put those chemicals in it that are going to clean it out, that are going to get it ready and suitable for use. If you shock a pool all the time, you're never going to be able to swim in it. Eventually, it's got to give way to something else. You've got a coach in Tom Thibodeau, in Jim Harbaugh, that are great for shocking the system, for cleaning things out and getting it back to a place where it can work. But too much of something helpful like that can still prevent you from getting to where you ultimately want to go, be able to actually swim in that damn pool.
So I really
feel bad like now for what we've done. We've taken the one bit of joy in Knicks fans' lives, and we pooped on it.
I don't know. It's okay. They're probably a little apprehensive themselves.
That is true. They know better than anyone, but there's no problem. Again, as someone whose fan base once rushed the field when we were unranked and beat like the 19th-ranked Utah team, every once in a while you just need a win. And you just need to feel some joy.
Yes.
And so we're not here to stop you from feeling that joy. Hell, it's still 2020 plus as far as I'm concerned. Find joy wherever you can get it.
That's a good way to put it. Plus, yes.
We're just deep in overtime at this point on 2020, and we are waiting to see if we can sound that damn buzzer. Coming up next, though, when we sound a buzzer later tonight, it could be because of the heroics of a potential top overall pick. Let's get to know Cade Cunningham real well on our way to a matchup between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State tonight, next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Spain and Fitz, like usual, is right after us today, and I'm so excited because in a few minutes, we get to show love to Sarah Spain, the commish, as she really takes another step closer to actually being like a sports commissioner. We will tell you all the details in about a few minutes, in about 10 minutes, as we keep that same energy, but we are not off the clock just yet. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us here on the Goodyear Hotline. And I'm so excited because we've got a very, very good guest right here because it is the first day of March. Bring on the madness, and we all really missed March Madness last year, and we've got a great one tonight. Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma State star Cade Cunningham is projected to be the top pick right now in the 2021 NBA draft, according to our own ESPN's Jonathan Givony and Mike Schmitz, and he's really coming off of a huge performance. I mean, a 40-point, 11-rebound game. I think he was the first freshman in the land to hit that 40-point mark, rallying the Cowboys in an overtime win on Saturday against the Sooners. You know, this was a unique situation because it was like a home-and-home series like we see in the professional ranks. And to get us really warm for this big matchup later on tonight, we're delighted to be joined right now by Myron Metcalf, our own ESPN college basketball reporter and also co-host of Sunday Morning here on ESPN Radio. Myron, thank you so much for joining us. Now, can you please tell us, tell the public, why Cade Cunningham is must-see TV?
Well, I think if you had a chance to watch Saturday, and I appreciate that introduction, I thought you were introducing somebody else. I really value that. Cade Cunningham is certainly the best player, I think, as a freshman, certainly in college basketball. And putting up 40 points on Saturday was sort of his statement game, I feel like. 13 to 14 from the free throw line, proved that he could be a rebounder, had three steals. He really did everything. And I think that's what you want and your star freshman. Cade is big, too. Like, it's not like he's just 6'8" and lanky. He's a really strong kind of player, can kind of get to the basket whenever he wants. And I think the most important thing right now is he's evolved and developed that confidence that it takes a while sometimes for freshmen to develop. But now I think he's taken on this idea of, like, listen, I am the number one pick, and I'm going to show everybody why I'm the number one pick. I think that's why Oklahoma State has won 4 in a row. That's why they look like a dangerous team going into the postseason. And I think Cade Cunningham is the kind of player that everybody should see before they watch him at the next level in the NBA.
And Cade Cunningham, like we said, already mocked as the number one overall pick. He's going to be a big name that people get to know. But Myron, we talked about this a lot last year. The NCAA tournament and the conference tournaments even tend to present an opportunity for some college players on a big stage, the most national stage, to go and make an impression on people as they get ready for that next jump. Who are some other people that we need to keep in mind as we get to the conference championships, the conference tournaments, and the NCAA tournament that we missed out on last year?
Well, you got to see Jalen Suggs at Gonzaga. I mean, Corey Kispert and Drew Timmy on that Gonzaga team are all good. But Jalen Suggs is the next level guy. He'll be a top five pick, point guard, can kind of do it all, two-way guy. If Cade Cunningham's number one and maybe Jalen Green is two, there's no way Jalen Suggs will fall below three in the draft. Just a really special player. I think at Michigan it's Hunter Dickinson, the seven-footer freshman who shut down Luka Garza last week. He's proven to be a really good player and now even an NBA prospect himself. I think at Houston, the name Quentin Grimes is someone that people need to watch. He'll be the American Athletic Player of the Year. He has just been a really talented player down for Kelvin Sampson's team. I think a lot of people know Luka Garza, Ayo Dosunmu at Illinois. Hopefully he's healthy. I think another guy that people really need to pay attention to is not even playing at a Power 5 school. Cameron Crutwig at Loyola Chicago, who helped his team make a Final Four run 3 years ago, and now is back as a veteran on that team and is playing really good basketball as a big man for that school. They're going to be an interesting team. I mean, they have a chance to get into the tournament as an at-large team, not having to win the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. And I think he could be a special player to watch. But all eyes will be on guys like Cade Cunningham, especially if they get the opportunity to dance in March.
I really feel like if I'm one of those young stars, you know, in the college ranks, I'm like, I hope Myron just said my name. Thank you for giving us that special feeling, because it has been a year where normally we don't get to see him again. Myron Medcalf, ESPN college basketball reporter, here with us on Chenea Golick Jr., Chenea Ogwumike, Mike Golick Jr. holding it down. And it's been a year where, you know, a lot of distractions, a lot of sports playing in different seasons, and we really missed out on the tournament last year. And so this year, as fans are preparing for these unique conference tournaments and then March Madness, can you sort of prepare us as what to really expect? Because a lot of the top programs are, you know, floundering a little bit this year relative to what we normally expect.
Yeah, it'd be weird if you just kind of crash college basketball right now and watch for the first time and realize that Duke might not make the tournament, Kentucky has to win the SEC tournament to get in, and Michigan State at this point might have to win the Big Ten tournament or at least really finish strong to get in. I mean, those are the Power Five teams that everyone's accustomed not only to just getting into the field, but also making a lot of noise once they get there. And then if I told you that Alabama and Ohio State were two of the best teams in America, people would be confused that you're not talking about football, but that's just sort of the reality. The Blue Bloods have a lot of work to do, so you'll see names like Houston and Ohio State and Alabama in the mix as top seeds in this event. But I don't think it'll change the dynamic. Like, you may not have a Duke, you may not have a Kentucky, but I think you'll still have some really good basketball going forward. I hate to use the word parity. That's what everyone says, but it's true. This is going to be one of those years where I think everybody's even for the most part. Michigan might be better than most teams in the field. Baylor, if they figure it out again after that pause, and then Gonzaga can score like 100 points a game. But the rest of the field, I think, is sort of neck and neck.
Yeah, Myron, last week we were talking, and really the consensus was that we're kind of three teams above the rest, maybe, in Gonzaga, Michigan, and Baylor. Certainly the step back for Baylor, like you said, but how do you see it? How do you see the top tier of men's college hoops, especially right now, going into the tournament? Is there a clear separation, or is it closer to the mean, like you said?
Yeah, I think at the top, it's Gonzaga, Michigan, and I don't know what to say about Baylor yet. They were out for 3 weeks. They haven't looked like the same Baylor team. They're not shooting the ball the same way, so I'm going to give that a little time. But definitely Gonzaga and Michigan. Michigan's only lost is some weird loss at Minnesota about a month and a half ago. I don't know how it happened, but it doesn't speak to their full resume. And Gonzaga just continues to beat teams by double digits like it's nothing. I think this is a unique Gonzaga team that is probably Mark Few's best team, and that says a lot. From there, you could put the Houston, Iowa, Illinois, Ohio State, Florida State, like all those schools in the same category of, yeah, I won't be surprised if they make it to the Final Four. Can they beat Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor at its best? I don't think so, but they can certainly get there. And then from there, you probably have 10 to 15 teams that could get to the Sweet 16, and then who knows from there. The thing we don't know is what will that tournament look like? I'm going to be in that bubble. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not a situation anyone has ever experienced before. So I just wonder how that affects the rhythm and the momentum that these teams are trying to build.
May the odds ever be in your favor, Myron, going into the NCAA bubble. Now, I have these final two teams that I really need your analysis on, because this entire show we've been talking about Girl Scout cookies. I am Team Samoa's. Junior is Team Thin Mints. What is the best team when it comes to Girl Scout cookies in the landscape?
Thin Mints are the Gonzaga of the Girl Scout cookies, and then there's everybody else, if you ask me. I think Thin Mints are incredible. I mean, that is the first cookie I purchase. That's my focus, definitely, around Girl Scout cookie time.
All right. Respected. I respect that.
Myron's enlightened perspective is something we need on all subjects around here. Thin Mints, the first cookie off the bus per me and Myron Metcalf in this one.
Send me your address, bro, so I can send you care packages in the bubble, okay?
Okay, sure.
There we go. Thanks, Myron. We appreciate it. We'll be talking to you plenty as we get down this stretch of the madness getting ready to begin in college basketball. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Myron.
Thank you.
Myron Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter. You can catch him on Sunday mornings every weekend on ESPN Radio. And again, tune in tonight. College basketball, Oklahoma State hosts Oklahoma. Check out Cade Cunningham. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Sean Kelly and Bob Valvano going to be on the call for you guys. But coming up next, we have Tiger Appreciation Weekend and the commish becoming the governor. That's next. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Streets have chosen. The streets have chosen. The consensus is that Thin Mints are the best Girl Scout cookie. Go ahead, Junior. Do your lap. It's Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. We've had so much fun today, including the amazing guest. Shout out to Women's History Month, because we had a really amazing woman join us by the name of Monica McNutt, ESPN basketball analyst, and also just pretty much everywhere, MSG Network, ACC Network, also ESPN radio host, who joined us to talk about everything New York. New York. I'm talking about the Brooklyn Nets and also the New York Knicks, who get to enjoy their day in the sun, their days, especially with an all-star, because it is NBA All-Star Week. Now, we also were joined by Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL insider, who took us inside the decision that J.J. Watt choosing the Arizona Cardinals to, you know, harbor his talents. Again, the deal is a two-year deal, $31 million total, $23 million guaranteed. By the way, the best J.J. Watt tweet of the day is from someone I don't even really know. He seems all right. Like, his icon on Twitter is super cute. Excited for J.J. to make a bunch of small talk with the locals in Arizona about the benefits of dry heat versus humidity. And that tweet was by Michael Jr. I saw that, and that made me smile, Jr.
It's just, you know what? It's the truth. I've said, as someone who spent an early portion of my life, about 3.5 years, living in Scottsdale, Arizona, the number one bit of small talk that you tend to bring up with people, because all they really know is, oh, it's in the desert and it's warm out there, is, well, you know, it's going to be 115 in the summer, but it's a dry heat as opposed to that humidity. So you don't walk outside and feel like you're putting on a blanket.
It is different. It is like strong, but at the same time, that humidity just does something different. Ask any woman out there, because as you guys see on ESPN Plus, I gave up on my edges. And last but not least, Myron Metcalf joined us, ESPN college basketball reporter, also ESPN radio host. I'm glad you know what edges are. I'm very glad. He came and just joined us and talked to us about what made, you know, Cade Cunningham become the number one prospect overall in the recent released NBA mock draft boards, what made him special. And I'm excited because we've got the game tonight, Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. Coverage starts here at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio. So many great guests, more guests to come, especially this month when it comes to Women's History Month. If you missed any of that, check out our podcast, Janae and Gold Jr. Subscribe, rate, review, listen to us, watch us on Plus. And I think it's time, because we did Monday through Thursday we work, Fridays we Turk. It's Monday, we handled our business, and now it's time to keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Keeping that same energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And Janae, that interesting guy, that great tweeter that you mentioned talking about Arizona and the dry heat, apparently made another appearance earlier today. Our own Chinna Igwumike was having her press conference with the Los Angeles Sparks after signing a deal last week, and there was a surprising guest question at the very end that popped up. Chinna, who hates surprises, got one on a day that she wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, so annoying, but it was super cute, so I'm like fake mad. But I will say this. Did you see my face when you came on? Like, I feel so bad. I'm on air with you 3 hours a day. I'm sure my faces look crazy when you say stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, it was very noticeable on there. And listen, you got to listen to me make weird faces and fluctuate through various levels of baldness. So I feel like there's a good amount of give and take here.
Look, I like my eye candy. You provide a lot of eye candy for me, okay?
Swirl. This show is all about providing eye candy. That's why you need to download ESPN Plus right now.
Yes.
And get with it. Watch us be beautiful on a television or device near you. Chinna Igwumike Jr. keeping that same energy. How about this, Chinna? More love going out this weekend. Did you see over the weekend the PGA Tour had an event and players came out in support wearing Tiger Woods red during the course of the weekend? Tiger tweeted out, quote, "It's hard to explain how touching today was. When I turned on the TV and saw all red shirts, to every golfer and every fan, you are truly helping me get through this tough time." And we know we had to go through, you know, on air trying to digest all this information with everybody. But to hear from Tiger about this in response to it is such a great sign about the direction this is going.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very welcoming to see that tweet. And also just, I love how this is exactly what is the beauty of sports. Someone is struggling and you lift themselves up with that subliminal, which just goes such a long way with the Tiger Woods red.
It does. So excited to see that continued hope, thoughts, and prayers for Tiger Woods as he continues to recover from that single car accident and the resulting surgeries. And as we welcome people back to great circumstances from overcoming great odds, Baltimore Orioles' Trey Mancini got a standing ovation and singles in his return from cancer. He was recovering from stage 3 colon cancer during the 2020 season. Chinna, really cool moment there. Unbelievable the perseverance and what it takes to battle through something like that for him to get back out onto the diamond. A huge triumph for him.
Yes, and it was so cute because afterward on the Zoom, he was talking about how he thought it was just, you know, another day at his job, but his teammates were all celebrating. The fans there were all so happy. So it was really, you can tell he was touched where he didn't expect that. Surprise for him, too.
Very cool one. Trey Mancini, a Notre Dame alum there, so we're certainly extra excited for him and what he's been able to accomplish and battle through there. But speaking of celebrating one of our own, Spain and Fitz are coming up next here on ESPN Radio. And how about Sarah Spain joining the group, a new ownership group, for the Chicago Red Stars of the National Women's Soccer League. Really cool moment. We talked about this in the WNBA, but now our own Sarah Spain getting in on it.
Flex on it, Spain. Okay, this is her whole process to try to not just be called the commish, but like actually be the commish. Sign me up for that. I'm here for this.
I can say any league and any organizational group is better for the leadership of Sarah Spain. We all know it from being around here with her. So big congrats to Sarah. That's awesome. Our neighbor to the north that you're going to hear take over with us right now. Jason Fitz and the new commish, the owner, Sarah Spain.
Thanks for listening to Chinna Igwumike Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.